Greetings, love, this morning again in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thankful for His Holy Spirit with us in our service today and blessings we have of fellowship together and around the scriptures and worship experience. May our thoughts continue in relation to the, as we turn our thoughts further to the scriptures and the message this morning. You may turn with me again to 1 Chronicles 12. I'd like to, again this morning, think about the another message in this series in relation to spiritual discernment. Something so important in our lives, not only personally, but also as a church, in our families, as parents. 1 Chronicles 12 and verse 32, which is our text verse that we've used each time. This is one of the accounts of David's mighty men. It says in verse 32, "And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. The heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment." Again, the inspiration that we see here, that at a critical phase in the kingdom of David and in Israel, there were men who were there, it says, who were listed among the mighty men, that had men of understanding, who understood the times to know what Israel, what the people of God needed to do. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we come before you again this morning to commit this further service into your hand. And may your Holy Spirit help us to understand the need of us today to be men and women of understanding, to know what we need to do, to preserve the faith, to serve you in faithfulness, not only in our personal lives, in our families, but in the church. And so, Father, bless our further service. We ask in the name of Christ. Amen. It is understanding what is significant in the events, trends, beliefs, and worldviews, you know, around us. I think it's what it was for them. It is understanding what is shaping and molding our thinking and our lives. But as this verse clearly tells us, and we've looked at this already, but it was not so much or not simply that they had understanding to know about the situation that they were in. You know, we today can say that we are living in the last days and there's pressures upon us from so many different angles in relation to the world and philosophy and society and the changing morals of society. So it's not that hard to say, yes, there's a lot of danger around us. There are a lot of threats and a lot of pressures. But further than that, it says here that they also then had understanding of the times, but they knew what Israel ought to do. You know, and as we say sometimes, you know, one of the fellows on the crew this last week expressed some. He's one of my supervisors there, but he said this person had talked to him about a situation, and he said, "I finally told them, you know, it's not that difficult to tell us what is wrong with this situation, but could you come back with some solutions?" And you think about that. To understand the times is important. But then to say, well, now what are we going to do about it? How should we live? How should we order our lives in light of the times in which we live? These were men that had understanding. Yes, they understood the times, but then they laid out a plan, or they understood what Israel should do. They had a sense of what to think, how to act, and the manner in which to respond, the role their lives had to play in light of the moment in which they lived. And while this was like thousands of years ago, the same principles hold true today in our lives. And so the question that we must continue to answer is, what are the challenges of this present generation? What are the pressures of this present culture or where are the pressures of this present culture trying to take us, trying to move us off of our faith in Christ? And then, of course, the next question is, how should we then live? What do we as fathers need to be doing in our homes today? What do we as a church need to be concerned about in relation to the battle lines, in relation to culture and worldly pressures, not only from without, but also from within? What should be our battle lines right now in preserving the truth in our homes and in our churches? We cannot sit idly by, and I said this before, one of the other messages, but we cannot sit idly by and just expect it all to work out. Because there's going to have to be that involvement. There's going to have to be that discernment that is needed that God wants us to have and to exercise. We're not going to go back over some of the scriptures that we looked at in previous messages in relation to what the Bible has to say about discernment. But this morning, as we're going to be thinking about discernment in relation to our homes, especially as parents, I'd just like to take your thoughts to your attention now to Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is a familiar scripture that we read over often, but one that continues to present its challenge to us in relation to the instilling of truth in the lives of the family, of the children. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And then he says, and thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children. Notice, you know, the connection there in relation to us as men, as parents, that we love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our soul, with all our might, and that we are living out. These words are in our heart and we're living them out. And then he says, go and teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and so on. He talks about binding them, verse 8, for a sign between upon thine hand. Verse 9, thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And so here was the command of God to the fathers in Israel, and how they were to transmit God's words to their children after they had imbibed them for themselves and understood them and lived them out. We know the familiar proverb, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Training up a child in the way that they should go, according to the scriptural principles of God's word, and when they are old, they will never be able to shake it off. They will never be able to turn away from it entirely. Yes, we understand children have choices that they make. We cannot make them for them as they get older. But they will, if we teach it diligently to them, they will never be able to get away from it. It's always going to be there. And in their hearts, and that they can respond to that, hopefully, in a time of repentance. Ephesians 6, let's just turn to this scripture yet before we go further in the practical sides of this. Ephesians 6, again, a familiar scripture in relation to the responsibility of fathers, parents, children. Ephesians 6, 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. very simple scriptures that lay out for us the biblical injunction of training, raising our children in a way that turns their hearts toward God. Now, I'd like to think a little bit about this idea of spiritual discernment as it relates to home life and as it relates to us as parents. I'm not going to be exhaustive in this morning. Lord willing, in the near future, if the Lord continues to lead, I would like to do a series on child training and raising children. With the help of God, I'd like to talk about that. But this morning, I'd like to focus more on the discernment aspect. Discerning in our hearts, you know, and our attitudes, and with others, motives, intentions. What is the spirit of the thing? Do we recognize the motives that make us think what we think? We've looked at some of those things in a previous message. Do we really have understanding of our own hearts? And it's like being able to step back from ourselves and look at ourselves as from a distance, as it were, to understand, you know, and discern our own attitudes and thought processes. So now, thinking about discernment in the home, and this is a very, very important part of parenting. It is something that we do in a lot of ways, probably without thinking about it as much. But it is an important part, and maybe I would say this morning we ought to be thinking about it more than probably than what we do. At least I would say that, you know, from a parent standpoint. And so it is very important. You know, the old saying that is often heard, and that is that more is caught than taught. And it's a simple little phrase, but there's a lot of truth to it as you think about, you know, the values and the impressions that are passed on from us as parents to our children that finally form their thoughts and thinking processes and their conscience, their convictions. We'll talk a little bit more as we go further into the message. But I'd like to just give you this little analogy this morning. As you think about discernment in raising children, in home life, I had to think of it, it's a little like going out into the garden, soft soil, you know, and planting seeds in beautiful, fertile soil, bright sunshine. You expect growth. You expect to see plants. And you think of that in relation to young children. As they're brought into the home, they come to us, and they're like that fertile soil. And we as parents have the primary responsibility of planting those seeds in their lives that are going to bear fruit. Now, whether we like it or not, we are planting those seeds. Discernment and understanding this means that we are thinking about this and analyzing what kind of seeds are we putting into their young lives. And, of course, we know the principle of sowing and reaping and all of that, and that's an important part of this. I think, you know, my wife and I talked about it just last evening, you know, in relation to the whole law of sowing and reaping, that really any good that comes from our homes, yes, we have a responsibility as parents to do our utmost before God. But really, we are so human ourselves as parents. And so you can say any good that comes from them really is a miracle, the work of God. That children embrace those things and choose right. And of course, we know what can happen. You know, where it's sad when children turn and choose wrong. But the question is, what kind of seeds are we as parents planting in their life? You wouldn't think of going into the garden and planting a handful of quackgrass seed. You just wouldn't think of doing that. But you know, there are times that parents almost do the equivalent. you know, seeds that they know will, you know, would not be good, but they simply allow it to happen. Maybe not deliberately doing it themselves, but sowing tares, sowing weed seeds in the life of a child, whether because of indifference or carelessness or just not paying attention, but allow influences to be placed there in the life of a young child without thinking about the harvest. And so you think about this, you know, as you have this child that is given to us by God, and we are responsible for the seed that we place in that child's life, the influences, all the things that come to bear upon them. That's where it takes discernment. It takes understanding. So we are not careless in this and doing something that is going to cause a bitter harvest. There are so many little things that are planted in the lives of young children that will stay with them for life. You'll stay with them for life. I remember as a child, I distinctly remember this, my father coming into our bedroom when us boys were ready for bed and kneeling down beside us at the bedside as we said our prayers together. Just a small little thing, but it's a picture in my mind. Was that a seed that was sown? I remember my father coming to me one time in tears and apologizing because he had disciplined me rather properly by mistake. It wasn't my fault. And when he realized the truth, he came in tears and apologized that I am sorry. I was wrong. Was that a seed planted? And I'm sure you could sit here and think back over your life and your growing up years and the seeds that were planted. Those are important. I love to see a mom or dad sitting and reading or maybe hearing about, you know, their little children reading them Bible stories. There's other stories you can read them. It's seeds. You're planting seeds. A little child comes with a book and says, book, you know, read. It's your opportunity to plant seeds. That's what it means. As they get older, they won't come and ask it so often. There's still going to be seeds sown there. Let's use spiritual discernment, brothers and sisters, fathers, mothers. Because once those seeds are there, they're going to sprout. They're going to take root. They're going to grow up. And all them little sprouts together will form the crop in full bloom of that child's life. A few things I would like to think about now in relation to this, in relation to discernment. Being fathers and mothers, men and women, we could say, of Issachar, who have understanding to know what we need to do. I'd like to think, first of all, in relation to fathers, are we discerning the effects of our own personal struggles upon the lives of our children? None of us here this morning, as fathers, as men, are without our own personal struggles of one kind or another. And that's okay in the sense that our children are not, ultimately, are not expecting us to be perfect. In the sense of not having struggles, but how we handle those things, how we deal with those things in front of our children, is going to make a difference. It will affect them and their views of us, of our authority as a father. Whether we are honest about our struggles, whether we're sincere about them, whether we deal with it, or whether we make excuses for ourselves. I mean, you could go down the whole list of things that relate to this. But are we discerning that and understanding what we need to do and how we need to handle and deal with our own personal struggles that our children will surely know? Another question that came to me is in relation to this is, can we discern how effective our parenting is as a father? I remember when our children were younger, the panicky feeling at times, life was just moving on, as if it was busy and things were happening and there were schedules to meet, and it's like that panicky feeling, am I missing something? Am I overlooking something? I mean, the time is just moving on, and it just seems like one day after another and 1 hour after another, and what if I'm missing something? I think it's good for us to stop and think about this in relation to, am I doing what I need to be doing today? Maybe this child is only 7 years old, or maybe this child is 10 years old, but am I missing something at 10 years old that I'm going to pay for, or this child's going to pay for when they're 18? That's the kind of discernment I'm talking about. I remember one older brother telling me one time, he said, if you're not quite sure how to deal with the reactions of a young child, he said, just multiply that by 10 or 15. And I know that's not, entirely accurate, but the point is well made. This child is acting like this, should I do something about it? Or maybe a child has gotten into this whole habit of self-pity. They just pity themselves. They're always, is it something serious or not? Well, would you like to see an 18-year-old acting like that? Would you like to see a 20-year-old acting like that? It's something we need to deal with now, because if we don't deal with this now, the discernment is that we're going to see this down the road, and it's going to only grow into a full-fledged crop of self-pity that handicaps that child for life. I just use that as an illustration. There'd be a lot of illustrations we could use. There's all the different personalities of our children, and how to relate to all those different personalities. They don't all come the same. We know that. But to have that discernment. There's the loud and more loud and talkative one. You never have to wonder what they're thinking. They just spill it all out all the time. There's the quiet one that you hardly know what they're thinking, and to how to draw them out. That's discernment. Fathers, and we need to be there. I know we talk about this and we say that parenting is a full-time job. And we say those things, but I was just thinking about in this message how there's never a break really in parenting. Because in the sense that it's a hands-on experience. And I know, that in some situations, many fathers nowadays are not working side by side with their sons like maybe years gone by. I honestly don't know if we've compensated for that enough at times in family life. And I'm not sure what the answer is for it. But whether we are able to do that or not, somewhere we need to compensate and have the discernment to know, if I'm gone X amount of hours while this child is growing up, in my work, how am I going to compensate for it? I have to compensate for it somehow to be there for them. And I'm not trying to put anyone on a guilt trip. I'm only saying it's something we need to figure out, discern. How is this going to work? We also need to be discerning as fathers with the influences that come into our home that are affecting our children. Again, this is something that we cannot just simply ignore or just hope that it all turns out okay. But to understand, be men of discernment, to understand what is influencing my children. There's a lot of different ways in our culture and society where pressures come to bear upon us. I remember as a young boy hearing preaching. Some of you probably remember it too. I mean, it's It was talking about, you know, what comes in the mail. You know, the mail coming into the home. And, you know, I remember in my growing up years, and I think we did it when our children were small, that the mail stayed on Dad's desk until he looked through it before it was available to the family. Those were simpler days, I think, than today. Think about all the influences, the pressures, electronic media especially. You know, how are we going to counteract this? What are we doing as parents and fathers in discernment? Do we understand what influences are coming to bear upon the lives of our children? Another is, do I exercise discernment with what I allow in my own life and the effect that will have on my children? I'm talking about, you know, basically in personal life now, you can think about it in relation to the home. But as a father, a child, small child, naturally looks up to us. We are their pattern. We are their hero. They want to follow us. It's a natural, God-given instinct. Tremendous blessing, tremendous powerful way to influence children. But we can spoil it so easy. You know, what I allow in my own life, and I don't understand all of this, but as a father, especially as children get older in the teenage years and beyond, but there's always that tendency, it seems, for children to take whatever is allowed about a step or two further. Have you ever noticed that? You know, Dad draws the line right here, but there's always a tendency for the next generation to draw it maybe a little further here. Think that this... But I think in carefulness and consistency in our own lives, even though that may be the tendency, I've also seen where as maturity happens in the lives of those young people and early adults, they come back to that line or conviction that Dad had and view it differently than what they would have maybe 17, 18, 19, or in those years of experiencing increased freedom. But still, I think it's a challenge for us as fathers in our homes. Are we exercising discernment with what I'm allowing in my own life? And with that is also not only personally, but also even in the life of the church. If we want to instill a proper understanding of church life and the claims of Christ upon our lives in a Christian brotherhood, we cannot expect our children to have right attitudes and concepts, you know, if we ourselves are not supporting and living out what the brotherhood is to us in our lives. You're planting seeds there that are going to come to blossom, that's going to affect that child's concept of the church. And so as a father, am I exercising and using discernment in what we choose to allow or disallow in our home? And that's going to vary some. We understand that. In any congregation, there's going to be some differences there, and that's probably okay to a point. But now if it's radically different from the peers of our children in a congregation, we'd have to think about that, because that's going to put a pressure upon them that could be negative. But at the same time, you know, in our homes, as we relate together in spiritual brotherhood, you know, there's going to be a likeness and a support for each other in our homes, I believe. And so using discernment about what I allow. In other words, if I say, okay, I think this is going to be okay, we're going to do this. I know maybe most of the families at church, you know, wouldn't do it this way, but we're going to allow this. And I'm talking about the thought process now. You probably don't say this aloud. But, you know, yeah, I think, yeah, we're going to do this. I'm going to allow this. The question is, have I used my discernment, spiritual discernment, to say, to know what that is, what the reaping of that is going to be 10 years from now or 20 years from now? You see what I'm saying? What I allow or disallow, there's consequences. It's like planting that seed. What's it going to turn out to be? Remember, I think I've used this illustration before. So pardon me if you've heard it before. But I remember many years ago, a minister father that I was, he's dead and gone to his reward now. I believe a very sincere man, servant of the church. But he had a personal weakness himself, even though it was not exercised with racing, car racing. And after he had raised his family, basically most of them were married and gone in the church, you would know a lot of them. But his youngest son liked car racing. And as a boy, he took his youngest son, he allowed him to do this, and he went with him across the back fields of the farm where they could stand up on a knoll there and watch the Sunday afternoon car races. It's not hard to predict what the reaping was. That youngest son is a growing man now, actually quite a bit older than me, or some older than me, but it didn't turn out well. And I'm not saying that critically, that father, I mean, I know he repented of that many times, but I use it as an illustration. A seed was planted. What a father allowed, and I've known this as a father myself, where I've allowed some things at times over the years, and all of a sudden you stop and you realize, this is not going to turn out well, and we're going to have to back up on this. Discernment in what we choose to allow or disallow. Am I discerning of my attitudes towards authority? Do I see in myself when I buck authority or when I, and do I understand how that's going to affect my children's attitude towards authority? As mothers, are you exercising discernment in relation to that, any feeling of pride or vanity in the heart of your child? I will say this charitably, I'm not saying this critically, but I think it's a fact that there's a tendency at times for mothers to want to see their daughters dress nice and be accepted. The question is whether we are exercising discernment of what that's doing to the life of that little girl, that child. Planting that seed and cultivating that seed of vanity and pride, it's going to be a high price to pay. Can you discern, mothers, in your heart when you're discussing situations and people, you know, and as we do, and that's not necessarily wrong, but are you discerning of when that line is crossed and it becomes gossip? Can we discern, as mothers, can you discern when your motherly instincts are getting in the way of a son or daughter getting the help they need for mistakes or wrongdoing in their lives? Those maternal instincts are strong. They're God-given. But you have to understand how to control them and not allow those maternal instincts to get in the way of a child getting the help they need. That can be difficult, and I know I've watched it. The heartstrings pull, the tug is there to protect. But is it going to be the right outcome in the life of the child? as parents, can we discern when we as when we are not presenting a united voice to our children? One of the basics of training children, of course, is a father and a mother who stand together, back each other up with our children. When that doesn't happen, you know, are we discerning of the impact and understanding that this is not going to end well? You know, if we do not stand together as parents on issues, even young children learn how to exploit that very quickly. Dad says no, mom says yes. Mom says yes, dad says no, or whatever mixture you want. They will exploit that very, very quickly. Are we discerning that? And sometimes we just have to go off to a quiet place and make sure that we're on the same page. You know, I think, you know, as that we're not undercutting each other's work. And fathers, of course, take responsibility for this. As parents, we also need the discernment. And I referred to this a little bit earlier, but in our concepts of the church, are we discerning in our own hearts as parents how our support or lack of support for the church is affecting or will affect the concepts of our children? There's also accountability. Another important part of child training and teaching is accountability. And we need discernment to understand a child's transition, you know, from innocence and their responsibility to us as parents directly to now a change in their accountability and responsibility before Almighty God. To be discerning of that. That can be difficult sometimes. Where they're at in their understanding of that in this transition. And to help them understand when that happens that they are accountable to God in relation to their lives. In relation to honesty, another part of this in relation to discernment. And I think here we need a lot of discernment to understand how truthful our children are to us. If you've had children very long at all, you understand how difficult sometimes this can be. You feel like a lawyer in a courtroom or a judge in a courtroom trying to decide on the case. You know, this one says this, this one says this. Where's the truth? But my encouragement is as parents, that don't give up on that. And I know we might get it wrong sometimes here and there, but if we just shrug that off, we will allow, you know, a spirit of dishonesty to grow in a child's life. And I know there's extreme cases of this, but I remember working with a young man many years ago who, in his growing up years, he was never taught honesty. And lying was accepted in his home. And here the young man was wanting to be a part of the church and he wanted to serve the Lord. And he just struggled so much with this, the basic thing of honesty. And I just, my heart often went out to that young man because I'm not saying the Lord couldn't have changed his life. But, you know, if you can't be honest with yourself, you can't be honest with God, it's really hard to be honest with God in salvation then and in the church. You know, as parents, we must discern the importance of truthfulness, you know, in relation to our children and be very hard on this whole thing of dishonesty because that is a truthfulness and honesty is a seed that will affect a lot of other things in their lives as they grow older. Also, another would be our thought patterns. Are we as parents discerning in how our children learn to think and to relate to situations? because of how they see us think and relate to situations. You maybe with me know of and heard of stories of situations where there's been family feuds in a community, and these family feuds have gone down through generations, you know, and like years later, after like maybe the fourth generation, these two families are still butting heads, they're still against each other, still in conflict. It just shows how the way we think, the way we respond, you know, those thinking patterns, we pass them on. And there's times that after several generations, nobody maybe even knows what the original problem was. But all they know is we're against so-and-so. And you think that's in the negative. But again, it's thought patterns. And we as parents need to be discerning of how we are encouraging and how we are training our children in relation to thought patterns. Exposure to the world through technology is another part of this. And I was just recently reading the book in relation to that Gary Miller wrote on the forget the exact title, is it Surviving the Technology Tsunami, I believe it's called. A very good book. We're going to be talking about that probably at one of our members' meetings here soon. But you know, to deal with this whole aspect of technology and how the world and the devil wants to program the minds of our children to think in a certain way through the use of technology. Well, there's also, even in small areas now, and if you think about spiritual discernment as parents and the details of our home life, how often do we as parents stop and think about how our little comments and words about situations influence them? Here's the situation. On the face value, this is what it represents. But we can just make this little side comment that tells our children what we actually think about it. And it just like it opens the door, as you could say, into the window of our own heart. Oh, so that's how Dad thinks. And that's all that needs to be said. They'll take that, you see. They will pick up the little off comments that we make about situations that will eventually come to reflect their own words and choices. One of the startling things as a young father, I remember, was to hear one of my own children repeat something that I had said. And it sure didn't sound very nice when it came out of their mouth. But they were only repeating what I had said. As a young father, when that first started happening, I remember telling my wife, I'm going to be more careful what I say. They pick up on it. It's natural. Building personal conviction in their lives, this is so important. You think about the conscience. We're not going to take the time to go into this in depth this morning, but you think about a child, every child arriving in our homes, every normal child having a conscience. It's a faculty that God has given to us. That is a tremendous help to us. Part of that light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. It is there. But to remember that our children arrive with an untrained conscience. Again, you could take the extreme. Those who believe in jihad and the slaying of infidels and how they train those children's conscience in relation to bloodshed and all of that. That's the extreme, of course. But what I'm saying is the conscience is part of our training as parents. The conscience will form their understanding of what is right and what is wrong. I believe that God can speak to them also through the conscience, through the Holy Spirit, you know, as a means of helping them in later life. But we as parents have a tremendous responsibility of how we're training their conscience of what is right and wrong. And with that is, of course, of what we, by what we allow or not allow. We talked about honesty, a very important part of training the conscience. Respect for authority. We could talk about accountability. By nature, we don't like to be held accountable. And right with that, of course, accountability is, you know, teaching a child to take responsibility for their own actions. You know, and none of us like that. You know, it's always somebody else's fault. You go right back to the Garden of Eden. Well, you know, it's Eve gave me, you know, and the serpent, you know, and, you know, it's always that thing of other people. The fault lies somewhere else, but it doesn't lie with me, right? But to teach a child in relation to their own conscience of taking responsibility for their own actions is so important. And so thinking of this, you know, the question is, as parents, are we discerning to know what kind of conscience that we are training in the lives of our children? We're going to stop here this morning. Lord willing, in a future message, we'd like to look at spiritual discernment in the life of the church. May God bless each of us as parents in this tremendous responsibility. God is with us. In a sense, it's not that difficult when we stop to just think it through. Look at ourselves, our own responsibility in this. Work together as husband and wife, mother and father. God can bless us. God will bless us. And let's continue faithful. Let's kneel to pray.